Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is the Fantasy Record with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Put the needle on the record. I'm Brad, the Big Noise Evans, joined by Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston. And Brandon, we've all been in this situation before. You go out Friday night, just unload at the bar. You're just imbibing everything left and right. You're getting shots in front of you. You're beer chasing those shots. You're having a good time. You're just unwinding, getting your liver primed for the weekend. Maybe you stumble out of the bar at 1 a.m. All of a sudden, your stomach starts grumbling. At least you think it does. And you go and get some food. What is your go-to move late at night when you've had a few barley pops in you that you've just got a hankering for?
Well, the number one thing is pizza because it's so easy to eat, right? You just grab it and you don't need utensils. It can just fold it in half and shove it down your gullet. So that's probably number one, or a burger, like a late night, like Dick's Burgers in Seattle area. Ooh. Like you can get a nice greasy burger. It's open like to the wee hours. So if it's a burger or pizza, I'm usually gravitating that way.
Please tell me Dick's tagline is big, thick, and juicy. Get one in your mouth at Dick's.
It is not the official tagline. I think it's probably the unofficial tagline of everybody who lives in the Seattle metropolitan area.
They're not advertising it? It's not on a billboard somewhere? Like you're driving down the highway? Big, thick, and juicy. Get it in your mouth. Come to Dick's.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've got a story for you. Mine, by the way, is either burrito or burger every single time.
Burrito would be great. And that's actually – could be. You can even kind of construe that as healthy for you.
Not really. But I appreciate that. So next time I go in an altered state, I'll just have this epiphany. Oh, Brandon said this is good for me. This 1,000-calorie bomb I'm about to put in my gut. And my cardiologist is like, yo, slow down.
Yeah, never is like 1,000 calories of anything good at like 1 a.m.
No, especially when you wake up the next day, you're like, what did I do to myself, man? So anyway.
Why do I have to take a really big poop right now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why is this just sitting so heavy? And you're on the can for the next like 3 hours. And now in New York City, I agree with you, the pizza slice, that's the way to go. Go to any number of Rays that are out there.
Right.
They all claim to be the original. And just walk in, get yourself a slice, and walk out. And you're right. You just fold it. There's no utensils. Anyway, there's a woman in England. And I figured this was perfect timing to discuss this story. This happened back in early September because we have our first London game of the year. Mm. And I guarantee you it's Raiders, Bears, and Bears fans travel in droves everywhere across the planet to watch their beloved team. And there's going to be some drunken sot with Bears garb on, probably wearing a McMahon jersey. Hell, it could even be a Curtis Enos jersey. We could have that sighting out there. Or Rashan Salaam or something like that.
Oh, geez.
Rest in peace, Rashan. But there's a story out there where a woman stumbled in to a Subway late at night. And she ordered, again, at a Subway, cucumbers. Not only that, but also black olives and cheese. That's it, on the sandwich.
That made national news?
That made national news. Yes, I found it in the strange news stories. But a woman went in, she ordered at a Subway shop late at night, drunk off her butt, cucumbers, black olives, cheese on a sandwich and said, that looks good. That was it. And the dude that made the sandwich at Subway took a photo of it because he couldn't believe how outlandish as the sandwich artist that he is, the palette that was just presented in front of him, and he posted it on Twitter, and it went viral.
Wow. Well, it's weird, but, like, I don't know that it deserved to go viral. But I will say that is very bizarre. First of all, I think olives are maybe the most vile thing that
really hate olives, dude.
Oh, I hate olives with a passion. That's my number one most hated food. And so I think that sandwich choice is terrible, but, like, cucumbers and cheese, I'm down with. She didn't want any mayonnaise, mustard, anything.
No, dry. Cucumbers, cheese, olives. That's it. Just wretched.
Yeah, that is wretched. But, that'll sop some things up in your stomach. A nice big loaf of bread in your stomach, that'll work.
For her sake, I guess. I mean, there's just no style or substance to it. So listen, Bears fans, I know you like meat. Do America a favor and just load up. Triple meat, get the cold cut combo, one in the morning, after a few barley pops as the Bears hopefully will celebrate a victory across the pond. And speaking of Bears, let's talk about them, because they're not going to have their starting quarterback, and that kicks off our big three headlines here, Brandon, as Mitchell Trubisky is likely going to miss action, though not an extended amount of action. The Bears, who have a bye week after their London game due to a subluxation of his shoulder. He's got a slight labrum tear as well, but may only miss a couple of weeks, but it sounds like it's going to be Chase Daniel this week. We do have a couple of teams on bye here in week number 5, and that is Detroit and Miami. Of course, everybody out there, all those Josh Rosen fans out there, if you need a streaming quarterback or Matt Stafford. Chase Daniel's kind of interesting going against that Raiders secondary. Let's give it up over 8 yards per attempt this season. But, Brandon, what's the ripple effects here? Do you feel – let me just propose this question to you. Do you think that Chase Daniel is
– how does this positively impact
exactly.
all Bears?
Is he an up? Is he an upgrade over Trubisky?
I would maybe argue, just from the visual evidence, that he is. The reason we liked Trubisky, not me, but some.
Not me either.
was that you felt like there was a rushing ceiling that was pretty good there. But he hasn't really been running a whole lot. So, just arm to arm here, Chase Daniel might be an upgrade. Mitch Trubisky can make more throws, but he doesn't make them accurately. And so Chase Daniel's going to get you, short to intermediate range accuracy. So Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery in the passing game, maybe a little bit more Anthony Miller than we've seen. I don't like the vertical. I mean, I don't think it's going to be much Taylor Gabriel between the 20s. Taylor Gabriel gets healthy, and, he had that weird game where he had 3 touchdowns. They were all kind of short routes. But, in general, Taylor Gabriel is a vertical guy. And I don't know about Allen Robinson, that being great for his upside. But I could see this being pretty good for Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery.
I'm still going to rank Allen Robinson as a wide receiver, too. I mean, the workload's there. He's seen 8.5 targets per game, 6 receptions per game, 70 yards per game, has a 1 touchdown, and it's the Raiders. Outside of Daryl Worley in this secondary, every other DB that is healthy right now has allowed at least a 105-plus passer rating.
Yeah, so, they played pretty well last week, though.
They did, but Daniel's more accurate. I mean, he did get a couple starts last season. He completed 69.7% of his attempts. He went for 230-2 against Detroit and 285, a touchdown and 2 picks against the Giants in those pair of games. But I agree. They are pressing the upgrade button here out of necessity, which is a beautiful thing. And I think the impacts will be positive, not only for Allen Robinson, maybe for a Trey Burton, who's been a forgotten man there. Yeah, not necessarily Taylor Gabriel, but possibly as well Dave Montgomery. Though, yes, mandatory Montgomery. He has not done much with the opportunities presented to him. However, what do you have, 24 touches last week? So finally, Matt Nagy fed him. Unfortunately, the offensive line is not creating any breathing room. They are 26th in run blocking efficiency, according to PFF.
Can Chase Daniel, Wally Pipp, Mitch Trubisky for the rest of the season?
Yes. I think it's a possibility. Like, if he goes out and lights the world on fire across the pond, that is going to raise the whispers to a scream on Chicago sports radio, across the area, saying we want Chase Daniel rest of the season. Now, maybe that'll buy him another start. And after the bye week, the Bears do get New Orleans at home. Let's say Chase Daniel goes out and beats up on Marshawn Lattimore and company, who've been up and down for much of the year. Very inconsistent. They were brilliant last week against Dallas. But before that, Marshawn Lattimore is one of the more generous defensive backs in the NFL. Yeah, this could be the end of the Mitchell Trubisky era, though. The chance of that happening, I would put it like 20-25%.
Yeah, I think that was probably higher than a lot of people would think. So it's interesting. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I think, he's in a great opportunity in this one. I think if he was to go against New Orleans as well and then also show well in that one, that would really give Matt Nagy pause for sure.
What do you do with Montgomery this week? Probably going to get peppered with questions about him, whether or not to start or sit him. I have him ranked as a top 20 running back, but again, I'm looking at his stats through orange colored goggles. Are you
with
me on this?
Yeah, no, just in my head, I was thinking that it would be a decent week. He'd definitely be in my the middle of my RB2 range, I would guess. I haven't started my rankings yet. It's something I do after this pod, but I think I'm going to be right in the same area. I don't know if I'll be like well inside the top 20, but I could see myself being in that 18 to 22 range at the running back position.
The Raiders have allowed 4.3 yards per carry, 137 total yards per game, and a pair of touchdowns to running back running backs Novantes, Perfect, Sayonara, see you later. Hopefully he is in football purgatory for the remainder of his life after that inexplicable and unnecessary spearing of the dome of Jack Doyle when he was already on the ground. I mean, Perfect is the dirtiest player since Bill Romanowski. He's dirtier than Ndamukong Suh. He's like 10 Suhs put together.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. So, yeah, they're actually, I've seen people calling for him to be done for his career. But he's played a long time, so that would be okay if he was.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to our second topic here, the big three, and it's swashbuckling yar! The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Los Angeles and hanging 55, a double nickel on the Rammies in a game that nobody saw coming. Just a wild, wacky, crazy contest there in the City of Angels. Do you believe this is more of a mirage? Or is it going to be money in the bank moving forward for this Buccaneers offense?
Well, it was a combination of some really bad defense by the Rams. But you're looking at, you know, you're looking at Tampa, who we were excited about Bruce Arians, you know, and what that meant for Jameis Winston. There's talent around him, and oh, this was going to be such a good passing offense. And then we hit two duds in a row against San Francisco and Carolina to start the year. And then you start backpedaling a little bit. But now you're getting what you thought you were going to get, which was, you know, back-to-back 380-plus yards and 3-plus touchdowns from Jameis Winston. So I think it's more real than mirage. I don't think it's full-on real. I think you're going to probably see a lot of 30-point efforts out of this Buccaneers offense going forward.
I think you will, too. I mean, the one thing we know about Bruce Arians is he's vertically minded. You know, he wants to stretch defenses out. He wants to attack downfield. And we're not talking like piddle farting around here with 5, 10-yard passes. This ain't the Arizona air raid, right?
Right.
Where you're kind of trying to nickel and dime the opponent with the occasional or sporadic throw beyond 20 yards. No, they will go after you relentlessly and assertively beyond that 20-yard line. And they're going to continue to do it. Now, you look at the schedule upcoming for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you get New Orleans this week. We'll see what version of the secondary for the Saints, appears on Sunday. Then you get Carolina, and that's been a stingy secondary. Bradbury's been brilliant in coverage. Then the bye week, then at Tennessee, another difficult opponent there, and then at Seattle. So this is a stretch of weeks, with the exception, I would say, of New Orleans. Maybe you could argue Seattle, but I think that secondary, you would say, too, has made some strides. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this is a tough row of games. If Tampa goes out there in this version, now it's probably going to show up, but even half of this version that we saw against the Rammies arrives in these contests, it's all systems go rest of season. And for those that bought low and Mike Evans, just take victory laps now. Chris Godwin, what tender hip. What tender hip. And here's the biggest development of them all, and probably one of the most extraordinary ones, I think, across fantasy land so far in the early season, Brandon, is the emergence of one Ronald Jones. Who we panned, who we lampooned, who we made fun of on this podcast throughout the entire offseason. And right now, I'm picking crow out of my teeth. He's looked great.
Yeah, I tweeted out that week 5 of year 2 was the week that Ronald Jones finally became fantasy relevant in the office pool. You know, if you're betting on when do we care about Ronald Jones, well, this is the week. Because he has rushed for 70 yards in 3 or 4 games. You know, that's tied for the league lead. There's 7 guys that have had rushing yards of 70 or more in 3 games this year. And all the other guys are bell cows, you know. So Ronald Jones is in that company. My problem with it is I don't think this backfield has much upside. This is a passing offense. This is a backfield. I don't think Bruce Arians plans on going to one guy. We saw in week 2, second half of the game, he went almost exclusively with Peyton Barber. I forget who they were playing. I want to say like
Week 2 would have been Carolina.
Carolina. They went into Carolina and they won that game. And to kind of milk that victory, they used Peyton Barber a lot. And then this one, they kind of rode Ronald Jones down the stretch in the second half. And I think I will go back and forth. And by the way, neither of those guys are really involved in this big passing attack. It's been Dari Ogunbowale. So I think this is just another one of those convoluted backfields. I think Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber are going to continue to split things. And you're going to get a low ceiling, but you're also going to get it. He's showing that you're going to get a decent floor. You know, it's not, I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot of room to be a whole lot better than what he's been to this point.
Well, I will say this. I mean, he's generated 2.84 yards after contact per attempt. And I think the most impressive thing with him is that added weight has done wonders for him in terms of his power. And he hasn't sacrificed elusiveness. He has forced a missed tackle, Brandon, 26.4% of the time. That's dynamite. That's terrific. I mean,
well, I don't know if you saw that late run where he was trying to run out clock. He was going towards the sideline, and then he turned it upfield and carried guys for like, I don't know, another 5+ yards.
Yep.
And you know, got him right down to the goal line pretty much. But it was a fantastic physical run, and you know, also showed some smarts to turn things back upfield and not get to the out of bounds line where he was going. So I was really impressed specifically with that run. It showed a lot of power. And this is a guy that, you know, his senior year at USC, he started to show that he could run between the tackles. And now that's starting to show up a little bit in the NFL, too.
Yeah, he's not Jamaal Charles. I can tell you that right now. Right. Now, he has seen 8 or more men in the box 32% of the time. That is top 6, according to NFL Next Gen stats. But the Tampa Bay offensive line, number 12 in run blocking efficiency. I like him. I understand it's a rotational backfield, but I think there could be back end RB2 yields consistently for him rest of season. The Saints upcoming get a 4.3 yards per carry, the running back position. Then you get Carolina after that, 4.8 yards per carry before the Buccaneers go on by. So,
And I will say really quickly to your point about back end RB2, that back end RB2 is kind of a wasteland. And so I agree.
It is.
Because you get to about RB23 and you can start arguing about 10 to 12 running backs in that mix. So I think Ronald Jones fits into that group. And, you know, he's got as much upside maybe as a lot of those guys in the back end of the RB2 group.
Yeah, he reminds me of my youngest son who said to me last night, he goes, he yelled up. He's upstairs, and he yells down to my wife and I, and he goes, guys, I got hair on my balls. I'm not lying. That's what he shouted out, and we all just started losing it. And we were like applauding. Congratulations, bro. Nicely done.
All right.
It's like Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones finally got hair on his balls, Brandon. He went from a boy to a man this past week with the 20 touches, 82 combined yards.
I think
touchdown.
I found our headline.
Boy to a man?
I think I found our podcast headline. Ronald Jones finally got
hair on his balls. Oh, that could be a great t-shirt. We'll sell 3 of those in the greater Tampa Bay area. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the lightning bolt. Maybe that is Melvin Gordon. Would you try to ride that bolt this week? He did not play a single snap last week in Miami. He was there for emergency purposes only. He was kind of like the axe or the extinguisher encased in glass. Nobody had to break it. Austin Eckler and Tremaine Pope handled all the work. But you would expect him to get a few touches this week. Maybe he's going to be eased in a little bit more. But Gordon and the L.A. Chargers bringing in the Denver Broncos, who just gave up, 220 yards on the ground to Leonard Fournette? So give me a fearless forecast for Gordon, and do you trust his services in week 5?
Let me see. Fearless forecast. I'll say 10 carries, 43 yards, 3 catches, 27 yards.
Does he find the end zone?
Yes, I say he does.
All right, so I already wrote about him. A little foreshadow here in the Fantasy Flames column. Here is my fearless forecast. I'm far more bullish than you are. 15 carries, 65 yards, 3 catches, 26 receiving yards, and a TD that checks out to 16.6 Yahoo Fantasy points.
Okay, so you gave him 5 more carries, but did you notice I said 3 catches for 27 yards?
I blacked out right there. I don't know what happened.
And then, so you just have him down for roughly...
A touchdown. Yeah.
You have him down for 14 more total yards than me, and we both set a touchdown. So you're 1.4 on the fantasy scoring ahead of me. Not by a ton. So we're in the same area. What does that rank out for you in terms of running back rankings?
He'll probably be like RB 14, 15, yeah. somewhere in there. I mean, the Broncos, dude, are bad. And they just lost Bradley Chubb for the year to a torn ACL, and he's been one of their better run defenders.
I will tell you this. I will probably rank David Montgomery ahead of Melvin Gordon.
Really?
Yeah.
I love you for that.
Thank you. But I think that's a fair comp this week. I think they'll be pretty close.
I think Ronald Jones is right there too, to be honest. I mean, they're all going to be kind of lumped together in that morass, as you mentioned.
Man, I just don't like the fact that Ronald Jones has 3 catches on the year. Like, I mean, he's averaging like 24 yards a catch. They should throw the ball to him more. But they got Dario Gambolale just hogging all those pass-catching backfield touches. So that kind of kills his upside for me as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, Austin Eckler is going to be involved, probably 11 to 13 total touches around there, maybe a little bit more. And the Broncos, man, the winless, hapless Denver Broncos, my under 7 wins total ticket, it might as well cash it now. They're not going to
That was a hard luck game for them against Jacksonville.
Dude, they've had two hard luck games. The Bears game?
Yeah.
I mean, that was that improbable roughing the passer call.
Oh, that was the worst. And then I would say that's the worst call of the year, but there's been a couple of those roughing the passer ones that are just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the whole weight thing, which I don't understand. Like, what is the guy supposed to do? Is he just going to all of a sudden tackle a dude and try to spin off
of
him?
When they're that close, they don't even know that the quarterback he has the ball or not anymore. Like, I don't get how you're supposed to know in that heartbeat that of a difference between when the guy throws it to when the guy gets hit.
Yeah, these guys are quick twitch athletes, but they're not freaking grasshoppers. It's like, give me a break. They can't think that quickly. Your synapses can't fire and message to your muscles, oh my God, it's a weight issue. I got to like somehow fall off this guy before I get flagged. They can't do that. It's ridiculous. Anyway, the Broncos allow 4.7 yards per carry, 162 total yards per game, 6 touchdowns, and the 6 most fantasy points to RBs. And as I mentioned before, down Bradley Chubb, rest of the season to an ACL injury. I like Melvin Gordon. You're on the same boat as me as an RB2 at a minimum this week. For fantasy purposes. All right, Brandon, let's go into a little game of deal or no deal. But before we do that, I did want to mention that this edition of the Fantasy Record Podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy. And we're talking about the daily version. We've got all kinds of fun and exciting contests on tap for week number 5. We've got a $350,000 baller competition, $35,000 to first place, only $10 to enter. Of course, a Yahoo Cup, a $5,000 free roll every single week, and $150,000 in season long prizes. $100,000 guaranteed, another contest with $10,000 to first place and $25 to enter, and a $9,000 guaranteed, and these are the games that I love, single entry contest. No management fee. It's one bullet in the chamber. That's it. $1,000 to first place and $3 to enter. All you got to do is go to yahoo.com/dailyfantasy. Again, yahoo.com/dailyfantasy to sign up. Do so today. I love those single entry competitions. All right, let's do a little one for one. Talking about single entries, trade evaluations. We're going to go player by player here, Brandon. And I want you to imagine that you're the owner of the player that I throw out there, and you decide deal or no deal for the players that I rattle off. All right?
Okay.
Here we go. Saquon Barkley. Now, he claims he's going to beat his 4 to 8 week timetable, which would put him around, what, week 5 or so for the New York Giants? Or week 7, excuse me. It's week 5 right now. That would be against Arizona. Maybe week 8 at Detroit. Dallas week 9. He's going to be in that range there. That's what he feels. He's no MD. There's none of that kind of acronym after his name, so I'll have to wait and see how that pans out. But here are the one-for-one trades recently agreed upon in Yahoo Leagues for Saquon's services. Saquon for Juju Smith-Schuster, who's been a colossal failure so far this year, even in a blowout against Cincinnati, couldn't even hit 20 yards, Brandon. Is that a deal or is that no deal, Saquon for Juju?
Can I just tell you, I'm looking at the list of guys you're going to throw my way, and I might not trade Barkley for all 3 of them combined.
Oh, okay. Well, that, killed, 2 birds with 1 stone. In this case, 3 birds.
So go ahead and read them all out.
Okay, so Juju Smith-Schuster, David Montgomery, Tyreek Hill. We still have a vague timetable on Tyreek as well. So you're saying the combination of the 3 as a Saquon owner, if that was put in front of you, you say no deal.
I'm just like, man, like I – I want the true, true difference maker. And Saquon was a difference maker before he got hurt. He's one of the most consistently awesome fantasy entities out there. He's right up there with Ezekiel Elliott in terms of week-to-week solid consistency, one of the biggest game breakers. And if he's talking about beating his timetable, and we're talking about him being back in week 7, which, you know, it kind of seems like one of those Adrian Peterson Tiger Blood kind of guys that maybe they're just in a whole nother level of recuperative, you know, just they were just dealt the hand, you know, a pair of aces. And so I don't know. Juju's got issues with this backup quarterback world in Pittsburgh. David Montgomery, as much as we like him, battling the headwind that is Matt Nagy, and Tyreek Hill, you know, his timetable might still be longer than Saquon Barkley's if we're going to believe Barkley. So I'm not even coming close to entertaining any of these in one for ones. And again, I think I would need all three of them to even consider it.
I would at least need two to remotely debate it. I could, you know, maybe Juju and Dave Montgomery. It depends how desperate you are. I mean, maybe you're sitting at 0-for right now. You have one win. And you're scratching
your
claw.
You have like really crappy depth. Your lineups each week are you're starting 2 to 3 turds. You know, like, okay, let's diversify a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trotting out like Trey Quinn, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, some of these guys as a flex, and you're just like, God, desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you feel like you could plug a couple of holes by getting rid of Saquon now, then I could see the justification for it because you have to win now. Got to play to win. Right? Yeah. As Herm Edwards would say. And apparently Arizona State doesn't play to win at home, only on the road. Covering machines away from Tempe. But I'm with you there on Saquon Barkley. Let's move on to Aaron Jones. The one-for-ones conducted recently in Yahoo Leagues. Aaron Jones for Robert Woods. Deal or no deal there?
No deal.
I would take no deal either. I think Robert Woods is going to have a humbling week 5 because Jared Goff's on the road at Seattle. A secondary making some strides. Great breakout performance for Woods. Got off the schneid against Tampa Bay. But that is a vulnerable, exploitable, flammable secondary. Not the case for Seattle. I say no deal as well, despite we'll see if Jamal Williams will be back this week. But doesn't matter. Aaron Jones is really commanding a lot of the red zone work for the Green Bay Packers. What about Aaron Jones for Darren Waller if you're really needy for a tight end?
That would be one I would consider if I really needed a tight end. The guy's been a absolute stud. He hasn't found the end zone, but he's caught everything thrown his way, and they've thrown a ton his way. 33 catches and 37 targets. Fantastic ratio. But I'm probably sticking with Aaron Jones because you mentioned, I mean, he's been a goal line guy. He's got 4 touchdowns his last 3 games. He's caught 4 or more passes in 2 of his last 3. That interests me. I know Jamal Williams was out, and he probably got more passing game work because of it, but he caught 6 balls last week. And we'll see. I mean, if Jamal Williams is out again and Aaron Jones shows well again, we might really see him take on a true sort of Bill Cowish kind of role going forward. So I'm going to stick with the running back. I just don't think there's a lot of impact running backs out there. And so for that reason, I'm going to stay with Aaron Jones here.
Yeah, it's getting thin. It's getting a little desolate, as we mentioned, particularly in the back end. Once you get about RB21, RB22, you start scratching your head a little bit. You look at Green Bay's schedule at Dallas this week, Detroit, Oakland, at Kansas City. Some nice matchups there, man.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers started to play better ball. At least he's stretching defenders a little bit more than the game manager that we saw the first couple of weeks of the regular season. So I love Darren Waller, but I definitely go Aaron Jones.
This is one of those, if I'm not playing Aaron Jones because I'm looking really good at running back and I really am crap at tight end, I might pull this deal off. But it's a corner case, kind of a situation where I would actually make this deal. In a vacuum, I'm probably not doing it.
What about for Matt Breida?
Nah.
Yeah, that's a firm no for me as well. Breida's just not scoring touchdowns. They have very defined roles in the Shanahan backfield, right? Yep. It's Breida, then he mixes in a little Mostert or Tevin Coleman whenever he gets back. And it's Jeffrey Wilson at the goal line. They once again in the red zone. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 2 games. We're going to get to him in a little bit later in a game of absolutely fabulous. But he could have another multi-TD game under the primetime lines against the Brownies this week.
Yes, he could.
If Tevin Coleman is not back, and we haven't heard anything yet about his availability.
And speaking of Tevin Coleman.
Oh, there he is. So Coleman, and here's what's interesting about him. Shanahan's already come out and said, look, Coleman will be our red zone back once he is healthy. He's on record for saying that. Jeffrey Wilson is essentially fulfilling the Coleman role. And then he'll be expanded out a little bit. You'll see him peppered in between the 20s here and there. But this San Francisco offensive line, Brandon, is a borderline elite unit in terms of run blocking, despite Joe Staley's absence.
It's the number one fantasy backfield right now. It's too bad there's not one person who's taking a commanding role in it, but it is the number one scoring fantasy backfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Garrison Hurst, you know, back there to get the carries. That Roger Craig. But, I mean, there's definitely some upside here with Tevin Coleman. One for ones for him. John Ross is dealing now with a shoulder injury. We'll see if he's going to be available in week five.
Not giving up Tevin Coleman for that.
I would say no deal there. What about Tevin Coleman for James White?
James White all day and twice on Sunday.
I would take James White if it's a PPR league. If it's standard, I go Tevin Coleman.
If it's half, I'm going James White.
I think I still go Tevin Coleman in half. Because he'll get a few catches here and there.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to say no deal. I say deal. What about Tevin Coleman for Phillip Lindsay? Deal or no deal?
I want Phillip Lindsay.
Tevin Coleman.
You
deal! Royce forever!
You hate Phillip Lindsay.
Royce forever! I got that tattooed on my inner thigh. I don't know if you knew that. Royce forever. And I've got mandatory Montgomery on the left inner portion of my thigh.
Yeah, nothing gets you hot and heavy like Royce Freeman and David Montgomery. Or maybe it's your wife. Maybe you put it on your inner thigh so your wife can get excited.
Well, I have oh, God. I have a tattoo on my taint of Monty Ball. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Which seems appropriate. Last name Ball. You know, it's right there.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm working.
We're not hovering.
I'm sliding the mouse over.
No, we're not hovering. No, and there's nothing to see here. It's like in the Naked Gun with all the fireworks going on in the background. What about DeAndre Hopkins? A player that's been so disappointing. Really, this Houston offense, Brandon, has been repulsive the last couple of weeks. They've had some serious issues. Deshaun Watson taking on too many sacks. Here are the one for ones. DeAndre Hopkins for T.Y. Hilton. Expecting him back this week in a shootout affair with a total of 57 versus Kansas City. Deal or no deal?
I want Nuke.
Oh, God. It's close. It really, I don't understand what that, I mean, he's got three drops. Spider-Man
patience,
hands.
Patience, Grasshopper. Look at, man. I mean, no one's been more consistent year over year than DeAndre Hopkins, and it's been with, we've seen him with shit quarterbacks, and we've seen him with Deshaun Watson. We've seen in a similar situation with Deshaun Watson getting sacked all the time. The numbers will bear out in the end.
All right, I say no deal. It's close, though. I really like what the Brisket is doing right now for the Indianapolis Colts. He's so underrated. He really is. That game's going to be fun.
Although they did not look good without T.Y. last week.
No, but Brissett still went for, what, 265 and three touchdowns?
Yeah, but he threw like 50 times.
Great. So. I don't care.
It was garbage time, and you're right. Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, he's better than people think, no doubt.
Yeah, hopefully he won't go full Andy Dalton under the primetime lights. Son of a ginger fist! Tank Williams.
Oh, my
special.
God. Andy Dalton looks so bad.
Oh, it was terrible. You know what, Brandon? I pulled off a golden sombrero in betting on Monday night. I had the Bengals and the points. I had over 1.5 touchdowns for Andy Dalton. He should have had two in that game. Tyler Eifert sucks my hind teat. I had Joe Mixon over 18.5 receiving yards and one other prop bet tied.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, Mixon had like four catches. They went for like
one yard each. Right. I was maddening. Golden sombrero.
Oh, those little screen passes were not working, yet they kept doing it. And it was like they were losing yards every time they did it. It's like, good Lord, put these guys down the field a little bit. Do something different. Zach Taylor got an F- last night in coaching.
Andy Dalton needed an Old Yeller moment. Just take him behind the woodshed, man. I mean, it was just a
person. Oh, he looked bad. It wasn't all offensive line. There was a couple times where he moved up in the pocket because the rush was coming in on him, and he moved into safety, and yet he didn't notice it. He just looks like if he would have just kind of like, oh, I'm in a safe area now, but he would just like hurry up and throw like this off target quick pass because he thought he was still under pressure. You know how Tom Brady will just move up in the pocket and all of a sudden it's there for him. Like Dalton has no perception of that whatsoever. He'll move up and he'll still think he's under pressure even when he's kind of eluded it for a moment. You know, it's like he's just terrible.
Yeah, he had blinders on and we're going to get to him. I might actually have him in the stream quarterback of the week.
well, I understand why.
Ginger fist! But getting back to DeAndre Hopkins, no deal for me on T.Y. Hilton. What about for Derrick Henry? D-Hop for Henry. That's close. It's really close. Henry's a true blue workhorse.
It's like, look, why would you make a deal? Because you're strong in one area and you need to help out another area. I think if you're like a guy that has decent wide receivers and you need some running back help, this is the kind of deal you would make right now. So if the need's there, yeah, I'll make this deal.
I would say, and again, this comes down to scoring system for me. If it's standard or half point PPR, I say deal. If it's full point PPR, no deal. Because Henry's only catching like a ball a game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, every once in a while, it goes for a really, really long distance.
But he's living up to the hype, man. He hit the century mark yet again last week. I mean, he is getting fed the rock 20-plus times every single game. They are driving him into the ground. And, I mean, he is the modern-day Brandon Jacobs. He is a football Frankenstein, dude. He's so upright. He's, I run, I crush. I mean, it was more Hulk. I think I just went there than Frankenstein. But
well, we don't know. I mean, yeah, that sounds a little Frankenstein.
Will smash you.
Frankenstein's monster, right?
Like, yeah, Dr. Frankenstein's monster. That's what people always, you know, people look at Frankenstein, the actual monster, and they just call him Frank. That's not true. He's the monster.
Exactly.
There you go. Mary Shelley would really appreciate us deciphering that for the American public. What about DeAndre Hopkins for Cooper Kupp?
Man, this is one of those things where it's recency bias, and you're looking at three straight Cooper Kupp games. And, like, in a vacuum, I think actually Cooper Kupp is the – I mean, I've been ranking him as the number one Ram in my last big board. I had him ranked, I think – I might have even put him in top 30 overall. I think he's there, but, like, I'm still probably – this is a challenge deal. I think I'm still there on DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just looking back to last year, like – Week 11 through 14 for DeAndre Hopkins, he went 56 yards, 74 yards, 91 yards, and 36 yards. Now, he scored one extra touchdown because he has, what, one touchdown right now, and he had two during that stretch last year. But you would go, God, DeAndre Hopkins is killing me. And you can look, you know, each of these years, you'll find a stretch where he was kind of down for 3 to 4 weeks at a time. But in the end, you got to trust the talent, and you got to trust, you know, this offense and Deshaun Watson and his ability to move around and exploit Hopkins' talent in kind of that schoolyard environment, which we've seen. And it's so glorious for them when it's working. I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins by a hair here.
I am too. I mean, they're comparable. They really are. And Kupp has a high floor because he's consistently getting his 6 to 8 receptions every single week. But scheduling is everything in fantasy, right? We know the opportunity is there for D-Hop. He's a guy that's averaging 9 targets per game. I know he's wide receiver 23, but look at the next 4 games. You get Atlanta, and Desmond Trufant got lit up last week. So you no longer have to really fear him. Then you get a shootout.
Yeah, he gave up a touchdown, and I think he had a case because he kind of complained. There was a little bit of a push-off there.
Oh, whatever. I just shut up and deal with it. Then you get Kansas City. At a game with a lot of shootout appeal. Then Indy. Now, Indy is, you know, inside the top third of fewest fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. But you don't look anybody in that secondary and say to yourself, you know, like, is Rock Yassine?
Pierre Desir has been pretty good.
Rock Yassine? I mean, what a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
You call up a girl, you'd be like, hey, girl, this is Rock Yassine. That's what I'm going to do. Rock Yassine.
I'm going to Rock Yassine.
I love it. I mean, that's amazing. And then after that, you get Oakland. And we know how friendly that secondary has been. Better days on the horizon for D-Hop. I say, again, no deal with Cooper Kupp. What about Odell Beckham Jr.? For Le'Veon Bell, deal or no deal?
No deal. Le'Veon Bell's getting like 25 touches per game. He's going to get Sam Darnold back. The world in which he's living is going to look a whole lot better when that happens. But you just want to follow those touches. I'm still ranking Le'Veon Bell as a top 6 pick in fantasy right now going forward.
I say no deal. I mean, you got to follow the volume. And you're right. Once I get Sam Darnold back, this is going to be a completely different offense.
Well, you would do the deal because you would have Odell.
Oh, deal. Yeah, I would do the deal. Yeah. Yeah. My bad. I confused my own game. But yes, I would definitely take the deal there. I mean, that is guaranteed 20 to 25 touches every single week. The fronts will improve. You know, he's viable in the pass game. He's going to catch probably 5 to 7 passes every game. I take the money and run. What about Odell Beckham for Kenny Galladay?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep Odell Beckham, and before last week, he had the average 10 targets per week. He was getting targets. I'm just looking at Odell's schedule. Like,
it's brutal, dude. It's brutal.
It's brutal right now, but if you're looking at being a playoff team, in week 11 you get Pittsburgh, and in week 12 you get Miami, in week 13 you get Pittsburgh, in week 14 you get Cincinnati, week 15 you get Arizona. Like, the most important chunk of the season, you have a sweetheart of a schedule.
You do, but you have to place yourself in that position. You said if you're trending to the playoffs, you know, this is something you kind of just wait and let it shake out, because by the, you know, after the next four games, you know, so let's look at it upcoming. You got at San Francisco. That's a tough secondary with Witherspoon and Sherman. Seattle, you know, which is, again, much improved. They've allowed the seven.
It'll be more about Ezekiel Ansah and Jadeveon Clowney getting after the quarterback in that one and not.
True. And we know the issues. We know the issues that Cleveland has up front. Then you got the bye week. Then at New England after that, and they're shutting every wide receiver down. The fewest fantasy points allowed of wide receivers in the year. At Denver, you know, the one saving grace the Broncos is Chris Harris, who will probably shadow Beckham in that game. The Broncos allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points. And then the Bills and Tre'Davious White, who have given up the third fewest fantasy points at WRs. So for me, I'm selling.
It's a tough run to that point, no doubt.
And then
all downhill.
You look at early November, right before your league's trade deadline, you could probably score Odell Beckham for like a six-pack of watermelon White Claws.
I've never had one of those, but yeah.
Anything watermelon, I like Jolly Ranchers, anything, I cannot get down with it. And I can't get down with this upcoming schedule for Odell Beckham. So I'm going to say right now, I'm taking the deal if it's Le'Veon Bell. I'm taking the deal if it's Kenny Galladay. And I'm taking the deal for this last guy in Mike Evans. What about you?
Yeah, I think Mike Evans, to me, is something that you can get behind. I mean, the recency bias you can talk about, but it's also Mike Evans was pretty close to Odell Beckham in terms of our preseason ranks and just kind of the way the offensive environments are trending right now. It's fair to look at that recency bias and say, okay, I got one of the most talented receivers in Mike Evans. And oh, by the way, he's also producing. I'd rather have the bird in hand in Mike Evans than Odell Beckham. So I'm good with that one.
All right, let's get this last one in here, and then we're going to do a little absolutely fabulous. AJ Green did a little warm-up sluggishly. He was snail-like. I don't know if you saw the video of him you know, doing some footwork on the side. Looked like he had to go boo-boo the way he was walking around. It looked a little strange. Turtle popping out of its shell a little bit. But let's go. You know, he's at least a couple of weeks away. Maybe late October, I think, is more of a fair guesstimate that he'll be back in uniform for the Cincinnati Bengals. AJ Green for Devonta Freeman. Deal or no deal?
Good Lord. Ugh. I'm going to keep Devonta Freeman, because I'm just looking at the last two games. He's had 19 and 20 touches. He had 8 catches for 72 yards. And I think, yes, that's what they need to be doing with this guy. He can catch the ball. He can be dangerous out in space as a receiver. I think they're going to continue down that vein. But, yeah, I'm going to follow volume here. And I'm going to follow a guy who's not on the sideline for the next 2 weeks. So give me Devonta Freeman.
I say no deal. I'd rather take my chances on AJ Green. If I have depth at running back, I'd certainly do that. Atlanta's next three games at Houston, at Arizona, a delightful matchup there. Then against the Rams at home. And the Rams, you can definitely run on them. They're top 10 in most fantasy points allowed at the running back position. What about AJ Green for Stephon Diggs, who had a resurrection of sorts last week in Chicago? Deal or no deal for him?
He had an erection in Chicago?
Resurrection.
Oh, resurrection. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he might have gone to Polecats or Heavenly Bodies. I don't know.
His owners might have got an erection, but more likely they were still flaccid because they left him on the bench.
Oh, well played. Well played.
That's because where he should have been. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to go AJ Green here, because I feel like this is going to continue to be one of the most pass-heavy offenses in Cincinnati. There's a well-established chemistry rapport between Andy Dalton and AJ Green. I think Stephon Diggs, this is going to be a yo-yo season. Like, he used to be a yo-yo anyways when they were throwing the ball, but now that they're like, when they prefer to run, like, it's going to be even more of a yo-yo. So I think you might see like one out of every 3 to 4 weeks from Stephon Diggs. You're going to be happy with it, but good luck trying to predict when that is.
Yeah, Minnesota only calling pass on 43.8% of their plays. Andy Dalton is already, I mean, he's averaged 41.5 attempts per game. And they're just deficit ridden are the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a positive thing for fantasy. So I'm going to say no deal. I'm with you there on Diggs. Yeah. I'd rather have A.J. Green. Last one, A.J. Green or my boy Josh Gordon?
I'm going to go A.J. Green. I think Josh Gordon's at the point where he's kind of like just an athletic tight end. He's lost some agility. I've noticed a couple plays where they've thrown in the ball where it's required him to contort a little bit. He's incapable of it. He can't do it. I think he's too muscle-bound. But he's caught almost like 50% of his passes. Like, that's pretty bad from a Tom Brady. You know, you got 27 targets, you got 14 catches. Like, I think he's kind of like a 5-catch, 60 yards, maybe every once in a while you get a touchdown. I think that's kind of where he's at now, where I would much rather chase the ceiling of A.J. Green.
I'm going to say deal, and here's the reason why. Schedule. Look at it. For the New England Patriots upcoming at Washington and that burnable unit with Josh Norman and Jimmy Moreland. Then after that, you get the G-men. Good Lord, yes. At the Jets, you know, Jets have been pretty good against the pass. Cleveland, we'll see what the status health-wise of that secondary is. At Baltimore, which that's the way you can exploit the Ravens, is through the air. Bye week, and then at Philly. And we know all the issues that the Phillies have in that defensive backfield. So better days ahead for Josh Gordon. If you need to win now, you have A.J. Green, and somebody offers you Gordon, you take that deal. All right, let's go on to Absolutely Fabulous. It's our snapshot of some widely available players right now in Yahoo Leagues, Brandon. And based on a percentage, what would you be willing to spend from your budget to acquire their services? Let's start off with Golden Tate, 49% owned in Yahoo Leagues. He is back off a suspension from the fertility drug mishap. What do you do with him? How much are you willing to spend of, you know, assuming 100% of your budget to acquire him this week?
8%, eight bucks out of 100. I'm not super excited, because I the one thing about Golden Tate that we know is he's not a true difference maker. He's a compiler. He's one of the better kind of compilers. Like, you know, in his best world, he's, you know, just barely over 1,000 yards, but he gets like 90 catches and maybe 4 to 6 touchdowns in that range. Let me tell you, how much better is that than a guy who's widely available in Cole Beasley, who's, you know, 10th in the league in targets, who's averaging 6 catches and 60 yards? What's Golden Tate going to average? Is he going to average a whole lot better than that? I say no. So if you go out and you try to get Golden Tate and you don't get him, your fallback is Cole Beasley.
Where's the banjo sound? Cole Beasley. Every time I hear the name, he's like making moonshine in the Appalachians somewhere, like
or
West Virginia.
The next guy that we're going to talk about. They're all similar. They're just
they are. They're all kind of lumped together. You're right. So Golden Tate for me, I go a little bit more, like 12 to 14 bucks on him, or 12 to 14% out of 100% budget. I think he's going to have. He'll get force fed this week. I like the matchup going against Minnesota. Probably going to see a lot of Trayvon Waynes and coverage. He's giving him 116.1 passer rating. Minnesota smack dab in the middle in most fantasy points allowed to the position. But Danny Dimes, and then we're gonna have to try to build an instant chemistry on the field, and that's why I think he's gonna pepper with targets. Jamison Crowder's the next guy at 45% owned in Yahoo Leagues. Same pricing, like 8%.
Yeah, this is a contingency bid for me. I'm probably still going Golden Tate as like my number one priority if I'm doing this, and then Jamison Crowder for the same amount of dollars I'm putting as my number two contingency bid here, and then it's Cole Beasley after that. But they're you know, all kind of slot, you know, good in PPR pumped up format kind of receivers with low touchdown and, you know, yards per catch yields.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. You're right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it is. You know, hopefully with Darnold back, he'll average around, you know, 6, 7, 8 receptions per game for a whopping, what, 70, 80 yards and no touchdown. You're right. It's like, it's Cole Beasley. It's Danny Amendola back in the day. You know, that's what those guys do. Jarvis Landry is another one, though. He had that breakout game last week, though he is in concussion protocol right now. What about my boy Geronimo Allison? Davante Adams dealing with that turf toe injury. Very painful. We'll see what his status is this week against the Cowboys. Allison only 24% owned.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup, but if Adams is out, you expect him to continue to be more involved. I'm a little bit worried. I mean, this is kind of like a 1 week ad. I've had turf toe before. I can see for Davante Adams, maybe him missing a game. I don't see him missing two though. And I'm worried a little bit about Jimmy Graham emerging again with nine targets, six catches. He actually looked pretty good. It kind of seemed like Aaron Rodgers and him had a moment. And so maybe that continues. I just don't know. I think he gets squeezed pretty quickly. So this is a 1 week ad against a not great matchup. I'm bidding $0 and hoping I get him for $0.
I'll throw a couple bucks at him. You know, again, if you want a plug and play option in a bye week with Detroit out, you know, maybe you're a Kenny Galladay fan or a Marvin Jones guy, and you need somebody to plug and play. Maybe Kerryon Johnson in a flex or something like that. Geronimo Allison has some upside, though the Dallas Cowboys secondary, all their DBs have allowed an 81 passer rating or less this year. They've been really good. And I'd be curious to see how Allison's utilized. Is it going to be in the slot? Is it going to be outside? You know, I guess he could be interchanged with MBS because they both have experience in that area. Again, if Adams were sidelined by that turf toe. Pick your poison here. Who would you rather have? Preston Williams. I know Miami's on a bye, but he's getting a lot of targets. Deontay Johnson, who's now scored in back-to-back games for the Steelers. Or my guy, the draft neck himself, Dontrell Inman, off a seven-catch, near 80-yard performance last week. And we don't know if Mike Williams will be back in uniform against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, but I think he has a good chance too. And if that happens, then Inman is, he's becomes a wallflower again. And so he will become a wallflower pretty quickly. And also with Melvin Gordon back there as well, like just the focus on Inman, it could be almost nil really soon. Preston Williams is interesting, but I actually think my favorite Miami receiver coming out of their bye is going to be Albert Wilson.
I thought you were going to go Devontae Parker on me.
Nope. Because Devontae Parker runs vertical routes, and I was looking at the routes run by Preston Williams, and they're a lot vertical as well. He's come across the middle a little bit, but that is Albert Wilson's domain. And I think when he's back and he's healthy, which I think week six, it's looking like he's going to be. Like, remember, in week one, he played like a quarter. They targeted him four times, and they also gave him a carry. So he had five, touches plus targets in a little over a quarter in week one. I think with Josh Rosen, he's a guy that's going to be very interesting. Do not forget about him. You probably don't have to pick him up this week, but I think next week he's a guy you're going to want to pick up because we know Miami's going to throw the ball. In this particular question, I'm going to go Deontay Johnson because we don't get to decide where the vacuum, because there's so many targets available. We don't get to decide where they go. I decided it was going to be Dante Moncrief, and I was crazy wrong.
Oh, we both were wrong on that one.
Yeah, and then everybody else is like, well, it's a rapport with James Washington and Mason Rudolph. That's going to really stand out now. Nope. The guy who's had double the amount of targets in the two games with Mason Rudolph at quarterback starting James Washington's been Deontay Johnson. He's scored two cheap touchdowns, but he's getting targets. He's got 12 targets in two games. Juju Smith-Schuster has 11 targets in those games. James Washington has six targets in those games. Follow the volume. And by the way, this is a guy that had a pretty good profile coming out of college in Toledo. A lot to like about him. Kind of called a running back in wide receiver clothing. And the comp from Lance Zierlein was Emmanuel Sanders. So there you go.
And that's a glorious comp. And he's played up to that part. There's no doubt about that. And I like some of the matchups upcoming for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You get the Ravens in that burnable secondary. You get the Chargers. He probably won't see Casey Hayward. That's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster's territory there. Then the bye. Then you get Miami. I mean, I like Deontay Johnson, too. He's impressed me. He's playing a ton of snaps. He's getting the looks. You're spot on there. What about Nyheim Hines? And I would throw in Jordan Wilkins here. This is entirely tied to the availability of Marlon Mack, who's dealing with an ankle injury. But, my God, you've got a superb matchup this week against the Chiefs. Again, the opening total in Vegas or Jersey on this game, 57.
Whoa.
57.
Wow. Well, okay, so we like Jordan Wilkins, but the game sets up for Nyheim Hines. We saw it last week. When they were in garbage time, it was Hines. And so you would think that's going to – I mean, Indy's on the road with no Marlon Mack. You're thinking Nyheim Hines is going to be the one they're going to have to lean on because they're going to be in passing down situations shortly after kickoff. You know, it's not going to take long before they're going to be needing to play on a hurry up pace. And that would definitely Lee and Nyheim Hines. This is a 1 week plug and play. And
so
I might,
$3 to $5.
I was gonna say I might throw a few dollars at it just if I wanted to take advantage of that and I needed a running back to play this week. So yeah.
And Jordan Wilkins would be interesting if Mac were out, because the Kansas City Chiefs have given up 127.8 rush yards per game, rush yards to the running back position, and 5.8 yards per carry as well. What about Jeff Wilson? We touched on him a little bit earlier, discussing Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida. I think he's going to score at least a touchdown this week. You know, the yardage yield is always going to be low because he doesn't get a whole lot of work. But, man, he has been money in the bank in red zone situations. He has cashed in on 4 of 5 carries inside the 5 for 6. So what do you do with him against Cleveland?
I think my first fantasy league I ever played in was 6 points for a touchdown. And, like, you also got bonuses if your running back hit 100 yards rushing. And I forget what the bonus was for that. But it was basically a touchdown only with a threshold in yardage that if you hit – in those leagues, I'd be interested in Jeff Wilson. In any other league, I don't want him. I'm not chasing touchdowns. That's what we're doing here. We're chasing touchdowns.
Oh, we totally are. But listen, plug and play, multi-flex league, why the hell not? There are some sickos out there like you and me at playing like a 16-teamer, 18-teamer, maybe even a 20-teamer where Jeff Wilson could still be available.
Okay.
Just tell me, it's only 5% owned in Yahoo leagues. I'd be willing to throw a couple bucks at him. Rank these tight ends for me. Herndon, all suspension for the Jets. Dawson Knox, whose profile continues to rise for the Bills. Or Tyler Eifert. Again, mother of all matchups, the Arizona Cardinals this week.
I'm going to go Herndon one. I'm going to go off the board with another under 20% owned tight end, Noah Fant two. Knox three. Tyler Eifert four. And I put Fant and Knox pretty close. I have Herndon as my clear number one here just because he looked pretty good in the second half of the season with Darnold last year. There's a clear need in this offense and a clear expectation that they're going to have to throw the ball in that offense. So I like him number one, kind of with a bullet here. But I think Noah Fant and Dawson Knox are both interesting. And the reason I throw Fant in there is because he's clearly the number one tight end in terms of snaps. He's dominating snaps at the tight end position. He's hit 30-plus yards in every game. We saw his yards-after-catch ability in the last game when they kind of threw – it was basically like a screen. And he, he just zigzagged his way into the end zone from 20-plus yards out. So you might see more and more of that as the season goes on. But I think Dawson Knox, we're going to see more and more of him as well. And he's an athletic guy as well. So both of those guys I would lump together.
I'm with it there. I mean, it depends upon your situation again. Like, if you were desperate for a win this week, it's Tyler Eifert, number one. Has to be, right? I mean, Arizona's given up 7.9 fantasy points per game more than to the tight end position than the number two in that category. That's Tampa. So, I mean, Eifert, it's close as you can get to a guaranteed touchdown with him than anybody else. But if you're looking long-term, right, Herndon's the guy. I would put Dawson Knox to then Fant. I love Dawson Knox's ball adjustment abilities. I mean, he can really twist and track and reel it in. I mean, he had some high degree of difficulty catches last week against the Patriots.
And you know what? And anytime, and what caught my eye was the week before against Cincinnati, they gave him a handoff on a reverse. Like, how many tight ends are getting reverse handoffs?
Right. Exactly.
You know, like, that speaks a lot to what they think about him in his athleticism. Yep. And so that opened my eyes last week, and he followed it up with 58 yards as he said against the Patriots. So he's peaked. He should be peaking a lot of people's interest right now.
A lot of bursts there in those legs for Mr. Knox. All right, give me a stream quarterback of the week.
Oh, God. Can I say Andy Dalton?
That's my choice. Let's go, baby. Lock and load the red rifle.
Jacoby Brissett. How about that?
Well, that would be the appropriate one.
Yeah.
For sure.
You can go gush about Andy Dalton. I'll throw out Jacoby because if he's available, which he's available in a lot of leagues still, you get the mother of all matchups this week and the mother of all situations in Jacoby Brissett. So let's assume he's gone. Go ahead and you can gush about Andy.
I mean, that's the silver medal here in terms of matchups is the Arizona Cardinals. Third most fantasy points, 8.5 yards per attempt, 2.5 touchdowns per game, 289.5 yards per game allowed to the quarterback position alone. Brock and Murphy in that defensive backfield, a combined 127.7 passer rating and 4 TDs surrendered. I mean, Andy Dalton's back at home. He's been on the road in 3 of his first 4 games. This has got 302 written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, he started out with 400 yards and 300 yards in his first 2 games. This might be a chance for him to get right. As bad as that was, you gotta erase the memory of that Pittsburgh game and just remember that this guy's been pretty good in a couple of the games so far this year, and he looks like someone who can take advantage of matchups at least.
You gotta remember, he is not a nocturnal producer. That's the bottom line, man. And this is a day game. It's all good. He'll be fine. That is a great fade play, by the way, against the majority. Low probably ownership percentage in DFS would be Andy Dalton this week.
Yeah, what about Sam Darnold? Like, what if?
Yeah, he's interesting.
What if they say Sam Darnold's feeling great? His week of practice has looked awesome. You get Philadelphia, who's been very generous so far this year as well in the secondary.
Give me a stream D of the week.
This is a slam dunk in my mind of the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, damn it! That was mine. Okay, yep, I'm with you.
Yeah, so that just more corroborates the fact it's a slam dunk, because this is the number 7 defensive unit so far, and you're going against the number 4 offense in terms of giving up points to the opposing defense in fantasy in the Buffalo Bills, whether it's Josh Allen or whether it's Matt Barkley, who looked every bit as generous and every bit as vulnerable in terms of giving up turnovers as Josh Allen ever did. So you get Tennessee at home. You get a team that has quarterbacks that will cough up the ball for you at some point in the game. I think it's a slam dunk with the Titans.
Yeah, the Bills have recorded a pair of 10s and takeaways and surrendered sacks this season. The Tennessee Titans can get after it. They've got QB takedowns number 13 in total there. Harold Landry and Cameron Wake combined, I think, have 6 sacks alone. So, yeah, they'll get after it. Tennessee, you have to stream. All day long. Although, hopefully, it won't be like a Baltimore Ravens situation. We're like, yeah, pick up the Ravens and play them against the Browns. And the Browns put up, like, what, 40 points? Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
It was just one of those unpredictable weeks in fantasy with the double nickel by the Buccaneers and of course, Cleveland and their woes and, you know, washing away all those feelings on the road in Baltimore. It's just strange.
Yeah, if all weeks were like that, we would have probably given up this racket a long time ago.
No, I love to gamble, and I love to play fantasy, so I can't quit. Can't quit it, Brandon. I'm an addict. Injected it in my veins, and that's a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Record Podcast. Continue to rate and review this fine program on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you download and listen to your podcast. Hat tip to our terrific, extraordinary, stupendous producer, Nathaniel Lundy. Please follow the show, would you kindly, on the Twitter at Fantasy Record. Follow Funston at Brandon Funston, his excellent work as well at The Athletic. Follow me at Yahoo Noise. And until next time, adios!